Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Yud Beis. We begin 12 lines from the top with the words Lema Ketanoi. We are learning today Lili Nishmas Irving Stern Yitzchak Ben Menachem Mendel. We're also learning Lili Nishmas my wife's grandmother Ruth Milch Riva Risha Bas Moshe. We're also learning Lili Nishmas Michal Bas Elizabela Umoshe. All the neshamas we learn for should have a Leah from our learning. In addition, we continue to learn for the Chayalim. They should be safe. All the Kochas HaBitochon in Eretz Yisrael should be safe. They should be successful in all of their activities and bring home the hostages b'mehira, safely and in good health. We also learn again for Refuah Shleimah, for all those in need of Refuah Shleimah in Eretz Yisrael Nebuch. There's so many in need of Refuah Shleimah, and there's still Nebuch so many that are mourning their korbanos that they sacrificed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May all those families find Nechama. Okay. We pick up again 12 lines from the top, Yud Beis Amud Aleph, right next to the Tosfos, Zilu Aduru, with the words Lema Ketanoi. Yesterday we had a machlokas between Rav Nachman and Ula, whether we say Hukasa Govim Min Ha'avodim or not. Do we go and collect a debt, a lien that we had on Yisomim from Avodim? So we know from Karka, if the father of the Yisomim had owed money, let's say Reuven was the father of the Yisomim and he owed money to Shimon, so the children technically don't have to go pay back the father's debts. That's a wonderful thing. They want to pay back Biyotzim and Hashemayim, so that's a wonderful thing, but technically they don't have to pay back the father's debts. But if there was a lien on the property, so then just like if the father had sold the property to somebody else, the Baal Chov can go collect from this liened property, so too it can collect it from property that the Yisomim got from the father's estate to go pay off the debt. Now, the question was, what about Avodim? How do we view Avodim? So Ula had said that the din is, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, and Ula held this way himself, that you can in fact be govet min ha'avodim. We consider the avodim to be like karka, and in fact, the avodim are able to be used to pay off the debt that Reuven, who now has passed away, owed Shimon. And Shimon can go collect from avodim that were inherited by the children of Reuven. Whereas Rav Nachman said, absolutely not. He was very strong about this, and he said, if a judge in fact judged that way, you could force the judges to go and pay for the incorrect din that they made, that they said that the Baal Chov can go collect from the avodim of the deceased person who had inherited to his children. Now, let us say that this is a machlokes. This machlokes between Ula and Rav Nachman is, in fact, let us say, lemo kitanoi, because we have the following brisa. It says, mochalo avodim v'karkos. A man was selling, Reuven was selling to Shimon, both avodim, slaves, and karkos, and land. Now, if Shimon, who was purchasing this from Reuven, hepzik b'avodim, only made a kinyan in the avodim, made a proper kinyan to purchase the avodim, however, he didn't make a proper kinyan to purchase the karkos, then lo kona karkos. Then you can't say, well, he purchased one, so the other one comes along for the ride. There's no kinyan aga, there's no additional purchasing of the karka, just because he made a valid kinyan on the avodim. The Brisa says vice versa as well. If Shimon had made a valid kinyan in the karka, lo kon avodim. You can't have a kinyan agav with karka and avodim. You can have a kinyan agav with karka and metaltalin, as we'll see, but you can't consider the avodim to be over here purchased because he made a valid kinyan in the karka. Likewise, if Reuven had sold to Shimon karkos umetaltalin, if Reuven had sold both karka, land, and metaltalin, and various movable properties to Shimon, and Shimon had in fact made a valid kinyan, hechzik b'karka, so then there is a kinyan agav in this situation, and kona metaltalin, then Shimon would have acquired all the metaltalin as he acquired the karka. But the other way around, the metaltalin, he made a valid kinyan in the metaltalin, lo kona karka. There's no kinyan agav with metaltalin to karka. So the bottom line is that you only have a kinyan agav over here when you are making a kinyan on the karka, and agav with the kinyan of the karka, you also acquire the metaltlin. And now, if you also had a Reuven selling to Shimon, another scenario, avodim umetaltlin, Shimon sold them both avodim and metaltlin, so then herzich bi avodim, if Shimon made a kinyan on the avodim, you don't have a kinyan agav, lo kona metaltlin. It doesn't allow you to acquire the metaltlin, you'd have to make a separate kinyan on metaltlin to acquire them. And likewise, if you made a kinyan bi metaltlin, lo kona avodim, you wouldn't acquire the avodim. Now, you clearly see from over here, or that's what the Gemara is now having as a Havamina, that the Karka is able to make a Kinyan Agav, but the Avodim are not able to make a Kinyan Agav, so it appears that this Brisa, which we're going to call Brisa number one, because we have a total of three Brises over here. So Brisa number one clearly seems to suggest that Avadim are considered as metaltali. You can't make a Kinyan Agav. With Karka, you can make a Kinyan Agav. With metaltali, you can't make a Kinyan Agav. And since you can't make a Kinyan Agav with Avadim, it appears that this Tana, this Brisa, Brisa number one, holds that Avadim have the status of metaltali. But we have Brisa number two, Vatanya. Brisa number two says, Hechzik b'avodim, if a person made a valid kinyan in the avodim, he is acquiring kanot metaltalin. He does acquire the metaltalin at the same time, implying that Brisa number two holds that avodim have the status of karka, and you can make a kinyan agav. So the Gemara now wants to suggest that Brisa number one and Brisa number two are the lema t'kitanoi, the paralleling the machlokas between the Amorayim, Rav Nachman and Rav Ula. So too, Brisa number one, my love, b'halkam ifligi, the Mar Savar. Brisa number two holds avodim kimikarka dami. So Brisa number two, which says that you can make a kinyan agav with the avodim with the metaltalin. So therefore, the Brisa number two seems to hold like Ula that says that avodim are considered like karka. And Umar Sabra, Brisa number one, holds avodim kimetaltalim domi. No, you can't make a kinyan agav with avodim. It must be that avodim have the status of being metaltali. So let us say, lemo kitanoi. Umar says, lo, lav davka. We'll have two ways to answer this. That either both Brises say that avodim are in fact like karka, or both Brises say that avodim are in fact like metaltali. And you can't say that this is lemo kitanoi. So let's go through this now. Both of them are said by Rav Ika Bereid Rav Ami. So I'm a Rav Ika Bereid Rav Ami. He says, in fact, the Kuli Alma, both Brisa number one and Brisa number two, the Kuli Alma Avodim Kimikarkoi Domi. Both of these Brises say that the Avodim have the status of being Karka. So now, Vahod the Tanya Kona Shapir. So the Brisa that says, number two, that says that you can acquire the Metaltali when you make a Kinyan on the Avodim, very good. The Avodim are like Karka. You can have a Kinyan Agav. Brisa number two is very easy to understand that the avodim have the status of karka. But how do you stand Brisa number one? Well, the tiny low kind of Brisa number one says that if you make a kinyan on the avodim, you don't acquire the metaltali. So how do you say that they hold that the avodim have the status of karka? It seems that they have the status over here of metaltali. So we say no. In fact, the Tana of Brisa number one holds that also avodim have the status of karka, but they can't make a kinyan agav. Even though they're karka, they can't make kinyan agav. And this is based upon a pasuk that we have in Divrei Hayamim. So in Divrei Hayamim, base in Perek Chof Aleph, it tells us there's a pasuk that says beinan karka dumya de orim mitzuros bihuda. The whole pasuk tells us vayitin lahem aviyem matonos rabos lekesef ulusav ulamikdonos. Im ore mitzuros bihuda. The pasuk says a kinyan agav that you got those matonos rabos, the gold, the silver, all the delicacies with via kinyan agav ore mitzuros bihuda. So this Tana, Brisa number one, holds that yes, avodim are the status of karka, but even though they have the status of karka, they can't make a kinyan agav based upon this pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, because you need to have, in order to make a kinyan agav, it has to be like Orim Mitzuros. The Mitzvotas David says Mitzuros means a mitzar. It means a fortified city, a protected city. So it has to be something that is protected like Karka. So you need Ba'inan Karka, Dumyo de Orim Mitzuros Behuda. That means that it's protected, the low 90. It doesn't move. So an Eved, while he may have the status of Karka, is a moving Karka. And the pasuk says you can only make a Kinyan Agav if it's stationary, fortified, protected Karka that doesn't move. So while both Brises hold that the din is that Eved is Karkoi, according to this first version of Rav Ika Bereid Rav Ami, nevertheless, there's a difference whether you can make a Kinyan Agav. Brisa number one holds from this pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Brisa number two doesn't hold from this pasuk. Therefore, Brisa number two says even Avadim can make a Kinyan Agav, and Brisa number one, based upon this pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, says no, you can't make a Kinyan Agav with Avadim, even though they're like Karka. And this machlokas can be found in the Mishnah and Kiddushin. Not that long ago that we learned this, did not. Nechazim she'ein lehem achrayis. That's always the buzzword that we use for metaltalin. They don't have achrayis on them. So normally when you sell karka, so there's a built-in achrayis. Even if it wasn't listed, we say it's a mistake of the sofrim. It's a total sofrim if they didn't write down the achrayis, the responsibility that you have to go and make up this deal. If something happens to that karka, it gets taken away. There's always achrayis on it, unless you specify specifically that there's no achrayis. So with metaltalin, they're always referred to as nechosim she'en lehem achrayis. In any event, can be acquired, nikdim im nechosim sheish lemechvayis, can be acquired via kinyan agav with karka, with nechosim sheish lemechvayis, which is normally karka. Now, you acquire the karka b'kesef, b'shtar, u'b'chazaka. One of the three ways that you can make a kinyan on karka is by paying money for it, or by a document, the shtar, or by making some sort of a chazaka in it, by doing something to the field, let's say. You go and walk around it, and you build up the borders in some way. Or you go and plow it. You do some action, chazaka, in the field. Now, that's what the Mishnah tells us over here in Kedushin. So, minuani mili, how do we know that this is the case? So, this Mishnah goes in accord with Brisa number two, because Omer Chizkia, because Chizkia tells us, the pasuk in Divrei Yom says, the Omer Kra, Vayitem Lehem Avim, this talking about Yehoshaphat, who's a very good king of Melech Yehuda. The entire Kapitul Pei Gimel, which many of us are saying on a regular basis now, deals with Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat was a very good king, and he's asking Kosh Baruch Hu to help him in his battles against the surrounding enemy neighboring countries. So that's why this Kapitul Pei Gimel is one that we often say. In any event, so Yehoshaphat says that he gave Aitem Lehem Aviyim Matanos. Yehoshaphat gave to his children Matanos, Rabos, great Matanos, Lekesef, Uzov, Ulmigdonos. He gave them gold and silver and all sorts of delicacies. And how did he give it to them? Im Ore Mitzuros Behuda. He gave them via Kinyan Agam with these fortified cities. So this Mishnah in Kiddushin goes perfectly in accord with Brisa number one that says that, in fact, while Avadim may have the status of being Karka, you can't make a Kinyan Akka with them. And Brisa number two doesn't hold like this Mishnah in Kiddushin. So this is how Rav Ika Breid Ravami says that you can't say this is Lema Ketanoi, that this is one Brisa saying that Avadim are like Karka, and one Brisa saying that Avadim are like Metaltali, and that's Lema Ketanoi, the Machlokes of Nachman and Ula. No, in fact, according to the first version of Rav Ika Breid Ravami, both Brises hold that Avadim have the status of Karka. The only question is, even though Avadim have the status of Karka, based upon this Mishnah and Kiddushin, so Brisa number one holds like the Mishnah and Kiddushin, based upon the Pasuk of the Rei Yomim, and therefore you cannot make a Kinyan Agav with an Eved. However, Brisa number two doesn't hold like that and says, no, Avadim have the status of Karka, and just like Karka can make a Kinyan Agav, so too Avadim can make a Kinyan Agav. That's the first version of Rav Ika Breid Ravami. Ika de Ami, there's a second version that Omer Rav Ika Breid Ravami, that in fact the Kuliyama Abde Kimitatli Dami, that don't say this is Lema Ketanoi, because both Brises in fact hold that an Eved has the status of Mitatli. Now, that's no problem. Point to Brisa number one, Tanya Lo Kana. Brisa number one says that you can't have a Kinyan Agav with an Eved for the Mitatli, so shop it. That makes very good sense, because the Eved has the status of Metaltli, and Metaltli can't make a Kinyan Agav for other Metaltli. So, no problem at all to understand Brisa number one. But how would you understand Brisa number two? Hold the Tanya Kana. Brisa number two says that the Hechzik B'Avadim Kana Metaltlin, that it seems that Eved can make a Kinyan Agav. So, if you're saying that Avadim are Metaltli, how does an Eved make a Kinyan Agav for other Metaltli? So, the Gemara says, because Brisa number two is dealing with Be'odon Olav, we're dealing over here with the item that is the metaltli is literally being held by the Eved. And it works literally to go, and as you acquire the Eved, you acquire anything the Eved is holding. So therefore, even though it's not a standard Kinyan Agav, this is what we would call a Kinyan Chotzer, that the Eved, whatever the Eved is holding, comes along with the deal. It's not a Kinyan Agav, it's a Kinyan Chotzer. There are differences between a Kinyan Agav and a Kinyan Chotzer. And one of them is the Chotzer has to be protected. So Gemara says, V'chi odon olav mayhavi. So how does that help us that the Eved is holding these metaltli? Chotzer malachasi. He is a moving Chotzer. You're telling me this is a Kinyan Chotzer, so a Kinyan Chotzer only acquires stuff that is in my yard. So it only applies to things that are in my yard that are protected. Now, this Eved that's moving is a Chotzer Mehalechasi, and the Chotzer Mehalechas Lokana. And the rule is that a Chotzer that's moving, i.e., an Eved, cannot go and make this Kinyan even with things that are on it. I can tell me, Pchi told me, but Ome. So you tell me the Eved stood still when the Kinyan was being made. That still won't help. Oma Rava, Rava said, Kol She'il Mehalech Lokana, Ome V'Yoshev Lokana, that even though right now the Eved is standing still, but the fact is that the Eved can move. And if the Eved can move, so we view him as moving even when he's standing still. So the bottom line is, you're going to tell me this wasn't a Kinyan Agav, it's a Kinyan Chotzer. Well, guess what? A Kinyan Chotzer would not work for an Eved as well. Shmuel says, yes, it does, but only under the following circumstances. V'hilchasa b'kofus. an eved that cannot move because he's tied up. And Tosos adds in Dibur Masel Hilchos Kofus, says v'tzorich lomar nami demayri biyoshein the kofus mahani the low heavy chotzim aleches biyoshein mahani devi mishtameris l'daito. Did you need two things over here? That not only is the eved tied up, but the eved also has to be sleeping. That's the way Tosus understands this. The Gra brings down that the Rambam doesn't understand it this way. He says you don't have to have the eved asleep, it just has to be tied up. In any event, this Kinyan Chatzir, this is how we would understand Brisa number two. Even though you say that the eved has the status of being metaltali, nevertheless, the eved can go and acquire the metaltali that he is holding on to, that are on him, as long as he's tied up and possibly also having to be asleep, like Tosus says. Okay, that's how we reconcile according to the two different opinions of Rav Ika, Bered, the Rav Idi. So either both of these two brises hold that Avodim have the status of Karka, and we explained why. Therefore, if you hold like the Mishnah in Kedushin from Divrei Yamim, why one would say that even though it's Karka, you can't have a Kinyan Agav. Or the second version, or Rav Ika, Bered, the Rav Idi, that says that in fact both brises say that Avodim have the status of metaltali, and the only reason why the second brise would allow it to work is because you're dealing with an Eved that is tied up and also possibly asleep. Okay, now we have a third brisa. V'atanya, we're going to bring down brisa number three now. And it says, Hechzik b'karka kon avodim. Now this brisa says that if you make a kinyan, a valid kinyan in karka, you can also acquire avodim. So the only way you should be able to acquire avodim is if the avodim are metaltli, because a kinyan karka can only be a kinyan agav with other metaltli. It can't be making a kinyan agav with karka. So this seems to go against the first brisa. It said that an eved cannot be acquired with a kinyan agav with karka. So Gemara says, no. This brisa number three, hasim ba'omdim besocha, the eved is actually in the karka. He's in the field. And therefore, it's also like a kinyan chotzer. And he's acquired in this fashion, not as a kinyan agav, but as a kinyan chotzer. Now, the Gemara says, michlal dahai lo kana kisha'ein omdim besocha. So then, according to brisa number three, the only reason why you're acquiring the eved along with the karka is because the eved is standing there. Implication being, if the eved wasn't standing in the field, you wouldn't be able to acquire the eved. So that works out great. Hanicha lahach lishna d'omer Rav Ika b'reid Ravidi. That works out very, very well according to the second version that we had of Rav Ika b'reid Ravidi that says that avodim have the status of metaltali. So hainu the omdim besocha in. So if the avodim are standing within the field, so then they're acquired along with the field, because they're standing within the field. Hainu, diyom, de mesoch in, e, lo. But if they're not standing within the field, then they're not going to be able to be acquired. And right now, we seem to be saying that the only way that the Kinyan Agav would work is if the item, the metaltli, are actually in the field. We'll see in a moment that that's not the case. In fact, if you remember, we've learned that a Kinyan Agav, the item doesn't have to be in the field, it could be anywhere. But right now, we're assuming, according to this, that the reason why the avodim were able to be acquired by the karka, according to this price, is because the eved is in the field. That would imply that if the eved wasn't in the field, he wouldn't be able to be acquired. So this works out very well, according to the second version that we had, Rav Ika, Berei de Rav Idi. I should have pointed out that on the side of the Mesor Sashas, it points out that the gears should have been Rav Ika, Berei de Rav Ami. So I've been saying sometimes Rav Idi, sometimes Rav Ami. So it's the same person. It's just that we have actually in the Gemara, the first time it's Rav Ika, Berei de Rav Ami, and the second time we have it, the gears are Rav Ika, Berei de Rav Idi. So I've been mixing them up sometimes following the Lashon of the Gemara, but in the Mesor Sashas, it seems to say that the more correct version is Rav Ika, Berei de Rav Ami. So I should mention that. So we'll call him Rav Ika, Berei de Rav Ami instead of Rav Ika, Berei de Rav Idi, even though the Gemara sometimes says Rav Ika, Berei de Rav Idi in the Lashon. So it's the same Rav Ika each time. So again, the second brisa seems to be okay, because we say that the Kinyan Agav works as long as the Eved, who's metaltli, is in the field. However, according to the first version, El Lahach Lishna, according to the first version of Rika, the Omer Avde Kimakarkoi Dami, the first version of Ravika's statement was that the Eved has the status of Karka. So then, Lomali Omdi Mesocha, why would I need the Eved to be in the field? Which the third brisa seems to be explaining, Hosum Omdi Mesocha, so why would I care if the Eved is in the field or not? Because Ha Omer Shmuel, if you hold that the Eved has the status of Karka, guess what? Shmuel says that any karka can make a kinyan agav for all other karka in the world. Let's say Reuven sells Shimon 10 properties that are located in 10 different countries, right? He's a big real estate baron, and he's selling 10 different properties to Shimon in 10 different countries in the world. They're not physically contiguous to each other. So as soon as Shimon goes, Kivan Shehichzik, the Achas man, as soon as Shimon makes a kinyan on one of the properties, he makes a kinyan on a property in New York, so he gets the nine other properties that are in the nine other locations in the world. Kana Kulan. So, according to Shmuel, a kinyan on karka can go and acquire all other karka, even if it's not contiguous. It doesn't have to be in the same field, obviously. It doesn't even have to be contiguous. So therefore, why can't you go and acquire an evet if you're telling me that an evet has a status of karka? So then why would you have to say in this third brisa, hasam ba'om de misocha, it should work even if you're not om de misocha? So the Gemara says, what? And you have no problem if you learn that an evet has a status of metaltali, like the second version of Ravika. You don't have a problem. Ultamech, lahach nishna, the second version, the Amr avdei ki metaltali dami, you still have the same problem. Lomli ome besocha. Why do you have to have om de besocha? As we pointed out a minute or two ago, and as we now see as we turn to Yud Beis on Yud Beis, ha-kaimalon, the halacha is the lo ba'inon tzburim, that kinyan agav, the metaltali, don't have to be in the field. So therefore, the same problem that we have in the first version of Rav Ika, we have in the second version of Rav Ika. So how are you going to answer this? You have the same problem. So the Gemara says, we turn to your days, onward days. If you're going to tell me, Lamali, Omei Besocha, why do you need them to be standing in the field in either case? So it should work in either case, whether you say that the karka, as Shmuel said, works no matter what, even if it's not contiguous. And according to the opinion that it is metaltli, the evidence metaltli, it don't have to be tzburin. So, Ha-Kaimalon, we turn to your days on the base, Ha-Kaimalon, the Loba, Inan, tzburin. We don't need either one. Say, Elamai, Yisuf, Labema. So what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that shiny metaltli, the naidi, metaltli the low 90. You're going to tell me there's a difference between properties that move. You have metaltli that move versus metaltli that's stationary. So I can make a kinyan agav with something that's not tziburin. It's not in the same field because it doesn't move. So that can be the pot I can acquire with the karka, even though the pot's not in the field. But an eved that's not in the field, I can't make that because metaltli the 90 are different. And this kinyan agav will only work if the eved who's 90 who moves is in the field. So then the same thing over here. Hochanami, shiny mekar koi de 90, mi mekar de lo 90. So there's a difference between, if you call the evet to be karka, there's a difference between karka that is not able to move, real karka, versus the evet who has the status of karka. And therefore, abdi de mekarki de 90 who, since an evet that moves about is considered karka that moves about, so therefore, hosam sadna di aruchadu, the reason why that karka normally is able to be acquired with other karka, even though it's not contiguous, because the world is one mass. All of Earth is one mass. So everything is ultimately really connected. It really is contiguous, even though it's not directly contiguous. Sadno di aro chadhu. The entire block of Earth is considered to be one entity. As opposed to karka denaidi and evet, he's not one entity with the Earth. And therefore, the only way the evet can be acquired is if he's actually standing in the field. So the third brisa works according to both the standing that Ravika's opinion that an evet is considered like karka, but he's not satan the ara. And it works according to the opinion that says that the evet is metaltli, but there's a difference between metaltli the naidi and metaltli the lo naidi. So therefore, only if the evet is in the field, the third brisa, whether he's karka or whether he's considered metaltli, is he able to be acquired? And therefore, the third brisa is not a stira, and we're left that this is all not necessarily lema ketanoi like Rav Nachman and Ula, but we have three different ways that we could possibly understand this. The two of Rav Ika, Berei de Rav Idi, Berei de Rav Ami, and then we have the third brisa that could be reconciled with those two opinions as well. Okay, a little bit complicated. I hope it was clear. Let's go weiter. We now quote the Mishnah. It said, Nechosim she'ein behem me'ilu v'chule. Remember, the Mishnah, we had given several characteristics that the only time the dinim of Nezek apply with a shor, let's say, that goes and hits another shor, is if it's Me're'ehu, as opposed to something that has Me'ila to it, which is Hektish, or we said something that is owned by a Nachri, or we said something that is Hefker, so the normal dinim of Shor Shenagach Parah don't apply in that situation. So now we're going to address the Nechosim She'en Behem Me'ila Chule. The Mishnah had stated that if something doesn't have Me'ila, so then the dinim Me're'ehu apply. The implication being, Me'ila hu delesbu. Only something that doesn't have the din of Me'ila, then the dinim apply. Implication being, ha mikdash kotche. But if something which doesn't have Me'ila, but is belonging to Hekdish, so then the dinim would apply. So, Mantana, who is the author of this Mishnah? The way Tosus understands this Mantana is Klomar Pshitalei, the low ball of my Hekdeshos, the last bull Mila. It's not coming to just exclude any Hekdesh that doesn't have Mila. Kagon Karka, for example, the basic additional is Karka. The Kiva, the Heim Nirse Gavoa, so Mila Lomal of Lomorenda. So, it belongs to Hekdesh. So, it's not coming to exclude that. So, it has nothing to do with Mi'ilah in that situation, but we're dealing with a behema. Sometimes the behema does have a din of Mila, such as Kachi Kadoshim, and sometimes the behema doesn't have a din of Mila, such as Kachi Kalim. So therefore, the way the question is being asked is, Rashi explains, Mantana, the Mechaya b'nizokin, im hizik shoro sho shlomim sho chavero. We're dealing here, what about a shor that is a shor that was designated to be a shlomim, and now that shlomim shor is damaged by the ox of a friend. So Reuven, his ox goes and gores Shimon's shlomim ox. Shimon had designated this ox to be a carbon shlomim. It's kotche kalim. There's no me'ila on kotche kalim. The only time you have me'ila on kotche kalim is after they've been shechted and the emurim are brought up on the mizbeach. So the emurim have a din of me'ila. But until the shlita, there is no din of me'ila. So does this din apply to kotche kalim? We said in the Mishnah that something that has me'ila, there is no din of damages, but something that doesn't have me'ila, it's kotche kalim. The Mishnah seems to imply that there is a din of damages. So who is the author of our Mishnah? So Amar Rav Yochanan, b'kotche kalim, we're dealing here with kotche kalim, v'aliba the Rav Yossi HaGlili, and it is in accord with the opinion of Rav Yossi HaGlili. What is his opinion? The Amar, Rav Yossi HaGlili holds, mamon balim hu, the kotche kalim belong to the owner. Shimon, who owns this shlomim in this situation, when Reuven's ox gores Shimon's ox that is a shlomim, so Shimon is considered the owner of that ox. He is Re'ehu, and therefore Reuven would have to go and pay the damages to this ox. The Tanya, as we learn the following Braisa, now we have to know a little bit of background. The Braisa is explaining the pasuk that is talking about if a person was given the shlomim ox of his friend to hold on to and watch. And afterwards he says, no, I never got such a shlomim ox from you. And he swore falsely that he said he never got the shlomim ox. And then afterwards he says, listen, I did get the shlomim ox from you. So this person, in fact, has to go bring a karbon, umala mal b'shem. He has to bring an ashram in addition to paying back the principal, and he has to also pay it back a fifth. He has to bring a sham me'ila in this situation. Now, the Braisa says, the Tanya, umala mal b'shem, he's committing a me'ila against Hashem. He's committing a sin against Hashem. Now, that comes to include l'rabos kotche kalim, shem amono. It comes to include that this is dealing with kotche kalim that he swore falsely about, divrei Rav Yossi HaGlili. So you see that he has to go pay this person back the principal and a fifth. Therefore, this shows that the kotche kalim over here, he is considered the owner of it in that he gets the money paid back to him and the fifth is paid to him. So therefore, you see from this braisa that in fact, kotche kalim are deemed to be owned by the owner and they don't belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they're in the stage of kotche kalim. That is the opinion of Rav Yossi HaGlili. He must be the author of a Mishnah that says only things that have me'ila potential. So they're not included in Re'ehu, but something that is going to be kotche kalim. It is kotche kalim. But there is no din of be'ila on the item itself. There's only the din, as I said, on the emurim. So in this situation, the owner of these kotche kalim, according to Rav Yossi HaGlili, is considered the owner, and the dinim of nezek would apply. Igor says, but wait a second, there's a mishnah in Kiddushin, but none. I'm a kaddish b'chalko. If a kohen who gets various types of matonos, so he gets something from kotche kadoshim or kotche kalim, so he gets a portion of, let's say, the kotche kadoshim, pirchekun are allowed to eat them, or he gets some of the shlomim, so they get the chazei and the shok of the shlomim. So in this situation, so the Bryce, the Mishnah tells us, if a kohen were to go give a woman the parts of the korbanos that he's entitled to, whether it's bein b'kotche kadoshim, it's the parts of the kotche kadoshim the pirchekun are allowed to eat, bein b'kotche kalim, or whether it's the chasei and the shok, let's say, of a shlomim that the kohen gets, ain't a mekudeshes. So the Mishnah says that you're not mekudeshes. In other words, the kohen who gives it to her is not considered the balim of it. So lema the loker of Yossi HaGlili. Clearly, this Mishnah seems to go against the opinion of Yossi HaGlili, who says that the person who owns the kotche kalim is in fact the owner. Here, the kohen owns this, he has the rights to this, but he can't be mekadesh a woman with it, so he's not considered the owner of it. So therefore, let us say that the Mishnah Kiddushin doesn't go like the opinion of Rosh HaGlili. So the Gemara says, no. Afilu Teimo Rav Yosi Glili. You can in fact say that this Mishnah in Kiddushin is in accord with the opinion of Rav Yosi Glili, because Ki Amar Rav Yosi Glili Mechayim. When did Rav Yosi Glili say that the owner of this kachikalim animal is considered the owner of it, and the dinim of nezek apply? That's only while it's alive. Avoli achai shchita, after you shecht the kachikalim, so then even Rav Yosi Glili agrees. I feel Rav Yosi Glili mode the chi kazochu mishulchan gavoa kazochu, that now the kohen gets his part of the shlamim. He gets the chazay and the shok. So in this situation, the chazay is the breast area of the animal, and the shok is the right hind leg of the animal. So in this situation, he's only getting it because he's getting it from Shulchan Gavoa. He's getting it, he has the rights to use it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say. So even Rav Yosi Glili would agree that you can't be Makadosh a woman with something that you technically don't own. You just have the rights to it from the Shulchan Gavoa, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you're not the owner of it. So therefore, the Mishnah is even consistent with the opinion of Rav Yosi Glili. So that Gemara says, wait a second, Michayim Yomar, but then you're saying that Rav Yosi Glili holds that, well, the animal is alive, so then the owner is considered the owner of that animal. It could be Makadosh a woman, for example, with that animal, but not. But we learned it in the Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni. The Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni tells us, Bechor Mochrin Oso Tam Chai, that a Bechor, which of course, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it's brought when it's time, when it's out of a mum, it's brought up, it's given to the Kohen, he brings it up as a carbon, and the Kohanim are entitled to have this carbon, this Bechor, and use it, and eat it, after it's brought as a carbon. So, Bechor, Mochrin Oso, Tam Chai. You are allowed to sell from one Kohen to another Kohen, this animal that's a Bechor, that is Tam, it doesn't have a blemish, while it's alive. And we have in parentheses, Lo Shachut, it's correct, but it wasn't the correct gear so there in the Mishnah, but it's correct. But you can't sell it after it's been shechted. Ubalmum, however, a Bechor that has a Balmum, which is not allowed to be brought as a carbon, and it doesn't get redeemed, you just go eat it as barbecue. So then, Ubalmum Chai Vishachut, the Kohen could go and sell this Balmum, whether it is already shechted, or if it's not shechted, because it's not a carbon, and he's allowed to sell it when it's alive, or even after he's shechted, he can sell pieces of it to someone else. And the Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni continues, Umekachin Boas Isha, you are allowed to go and be Mekadosh a woman with your share of this Bechor. Now, Yomar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, we said only Lo Shanu Ella Bechor Bizman Hazeh. This Mishnah is only talking about nowadays when Nebuch, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and you can't bring a Bechor Tam. There is no Beis HaMikdash to go and bring it. Because the Kivan, the Lo Chazi Le'akrava, since it doesn't have ability brought as a carbon, Nebuch, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so Islu Kohanim Zechiyah B'Gavayu. So only in this situation, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, Nebuch, so then it is considered that the Kohen owns this Bechor. However, Abel Bisman should Beis HaMikdash Kayim, but the Ayah Rebbein, the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. So, and then during the times that the Beis HaMikdash was in existence, so the animal, the Bechor, Tam, has to be brought. The Chazin Lakrava is capable of being brought as a carbon. So then, lo, the Kohen is not allowed to go and sell it. In other words, it is not considered to be his property. He can't go and sell it. And on this Mishnah of the Eisei Rav Rav Nachman, Rav asked Rav Nachman the following question. Wait a second, that pasuk that we just brought down before, Mal Amal Bashem, the rabbis Kosh Mekalim, Shem Amono, Dir Yosef Glili, how do you go and explain that? That says that even while it's alive, it is considered, this is talking about during the times of Beis HaMikdash, because it's talking about that you have to bring a carbon Asham, so clearly that pasuk is talking about during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Yosi Glili in that situation seems to say that it does belong to the owner, even though it's alive, even though it is during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So that seems to contradict your understanding over here of this other Mishnah, of this Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni. So he says, no, Umashani Ravina. So Ravina answered this question that Rav asked Rav Nachman, and he said, when you're dealing over here, Bibichor, Bichutz La'aretz, you're dealing over here in this Mishnah with a Bechor that is coming from outside of Eretz Yisrael. And it goes in accord with the opinion of Aliba, the Rabbi Shimon. And it goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. What did he say? The Omar, he says, Imbo Tmimim Yikruvu. If Tmimim come from Chutz La'aretz, so then you're allowed to go and bring them up as a carbon. However, a Bechor Tmimim from Chutz La'aretz is not obligated to be brought up. You have a Bechor in New York. You're not obligated in the times of the Beis HaMikdash to go bring that Bechor and bring it as a carbon. You wait till it gets a mum, and then you just go and eat it there. So only if they brought it up from Chutz La'aretz Eretz Yisrael, do you have the right to bring it as a carbon. However, l'chatchila lo, but there is no obligation to go and do so. In fact, you just yirachi yistayv, let it go in pasture until it gets a mum, and then you eat it in Chutz La'aretz with a mum. So the Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni is talking, even bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim, that you're allowed to go sell it because it's all about a Bechor that is outside of Eretz Yisrael. Gemara says, wait a second, then the Imisa, if that is the correct way to understand this, so then the Chiyam of Yossi Aglili, Mamonahum Ichayim. So if you're now telling me that Rav Yossi Aglili says that the Kodesh Kalim are in fact, even when it's alive, even during the times of Beis HaMikdash, they belong to the owner, they considered his Mamon, we turn to Yagimel Ben Aleph, then Lishane, so then Ravina should have answered the question that Rabbi asked to Rav Nachman in the following way. He should have said, "Ha, Rav Yossi Aglili, ha, Rabbanan." He should have said that the Braisa, which says that Kodesh Kedoshim are considered the property of the owner, that goes in accord with Rav Yossi Aglili. But the statement that Rav Nachman had made, the Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, that which Rav Nachman had said, the name of Rabba Baravua, Lo Shono Ela B'chor B'zman Hazeh, that's only talking about B'zman Hazeh, but not during the days of the Beis HaMikdash. So he should have said, so ha, Rabbanan, that opinion is the opinion of the Rabbanan. So we should have answered, Ravina should have said, that it's a machlok, so we have between Rav Yosef Lili and the Rabbanan. So where he says, we have the gear to Amalei, in parentheses, others have the gear to be Amaloch. He said to him, Matnos Kahuna Karmis. He asked me a question about Matnos Kahuna. Shiny Matnos Kahuna. The din is different by Matnos Kahuna. The Kikha Zachu, Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu, as we already pointed out, that the Matnos Kahuna are different. Everybody agrees that once you get those Matnos Kahuna, so that's after the Shechita, that is something that is agree, even according to Rav Yossi Aglili, that is considered Mishulchan Gavoa, that is not considered something that you're the owner of. And therefore, shiny Matnos Kahuna, the din is different with the Matnos Kahuna, which are after the Shechita that the Kohen is entitled to get. That is definitely not considered his property, that is considered Mishulchan Gavoa, and that's why you can't be Mekadesh a woman with those Matnos Kahuna. And everybody agrees to that, even Rav Yossi Aglili. The tough shiur today. With this, we conclude the shiur. Be'ezus Hashem, our steiging away trying to learn these difficult sugyas should be a skula to protect all of our soldiers and the kochos habitachon that are protecting us in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem Yishmarei.